Amen. Thank you. Exodus chapter 10. There's so much here, and we've got to cover some verses. Read verse 24 through 26 with me. Exodus 10. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. We know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. We do not know." He's going to instruct us. But there's so much here. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, didn't he? The Lord hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. In spite of God's clear judgment. What a picture he is of mankind. In spite of God's clear judgments and warnings and providences, he hardened his heart. So God hardened his heart. The Lord's the one who only can break the heart, open the deaf ear, the blind eye. He must do it. This man is so obstinate. God, in justice, leaves him alone. And that hardens, and the man hardens his heart. Pharaoh, he's a picture of Satan. How foolish to fight against your Creator. And no one has fought against him more than Satan. That makes him the biggest. And I say this carefully, fearfully. But surely he's the greatest fool of all. He knows. He knows who God is. He's seen his power. He's seen him take the angels captive. But how foolish to fight against our Creator. He said in verse 24, "Go serve the Lord. Just let your flocks and herds be stayed. Your little ones can go with you." Satan doesn't mind religion. He doesn't mind religion. Preaching doesn't bother him. Preachers don't bother him. It doesn't bother mankind. Most of the preaching that goes on today doesn't bother anybody. It's not offensive. There's no power in it. And so he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind a bit. In fact, his seat, and over in Revelation, he talks about Satan's seat right in the middle of religion. That's where he does his chief work. He doesn't mind religion. Just leave off the burnt offering. Don't be talking about this burnt offering. Don't be talking about the blood sacrifice. Don't be preaching Christ crucified. He knows the fire of God. He does. He's seen God use that power to take people from Him. He knows. So His chief work, the thing He desires more than anything else and tries to do is keep people from hearing the gospel, which is the power of God, which frees men from Satan's captivity. So He doesn't mind. Go. Just don't offer sacrifice. But Moses says, "We must. Thou must give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." Moses knew, all of God's people know, we don't approach God but by a burnt offering, by a sacrifice, by a blood atonement. Isaac, young Isaac, going up that mountain with his father, he knew. Our children know. Here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the lamb for what? Burnt offering. We've got to have a lamb. We've got to have a burnt offering. Burnt offering, mind you. The next, chapter 12, we're going to look at the Passover and the lamb that was roast with fire. I kept saying that. Don't sod it with water, roast it with fire. What is this all a picture of? That our God is a consuming fire. Our God will punish sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. God is holy and just more than anything else. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The God who answers by fire is God, Elijah said. That's the God of the Bible. He hasn't changed. We cannot approach this God who's a consuming fire. We cannot enter into the fire. We cannot come near Him except by a burnt offering. So that burnt offering is a substitute for us. It's what Christ did on Calvary. He went through the fires of hell, the fiery wrath of God for our people. The fire of God was extinguished on that sacrifice, on Christ. And now there's no fire for us. And that's how we come to God. That's the faith we bring, that we believe. We know that. Our children know that. No, at least in their head. No. The world doesn't know that. We don't need a burnt offering. God's not like that. God's not that holy. God loves us. He loves us all just like we are. Okay? And if you're just loving and kind, do the best you can, you're sincere, it doesn't matter, your religion doesn't matter, none of that matters. We're all going to get to God. Just love one another. You've got to have a burnt offering. You've got to have a burnt offering. So, the God of this world, Satan, his one thing that he endeavors to do is keep people from hearing the gospel. Go, but just don't take these lambs with you. Moses said, no, we've got to. This is how we glorify God. It's how we sacrifice to God. You know, if it's true that all this doesn't matter, then Christ died in vain. Christ is the Lamb. Christ is the one who came, our burnt offering. If we don't need one, then Christ died in vain. I like the way, I look at verse 26, our cattle shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. That's how we serve the Lord, His glory, His honor. I like the way Brother David Edmondson approached this. Are you listening, Brother David? What a good message he preached on this, and you can listen to that after you hear me preach it. But it was such a good, you need to listen to it. Outstanding. And his whole focus was no compromise. We're not going to compromise the truth. Pharaoh kept trying to get Moses to concede something, to compromise. And David said, we must stand our ground. We must not, it's a military term, we must not give an inch. Like Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. Though you stand alone, you stand for the truth. Back in chapter 8, Pharaoh said, you can sacrifice, but just stay here. Remember? Stay here in Egypt with us. If you can sacrifice, don't go anywhere. No, no, Moses said, we've got to go without the camp. Come ye out from among them. Moses said, what we do is an abomination to the Egyptians. It is. The gospel is an abomination to the world. It is. We can't worship with the world. We can't meet together with the world. They're countywide prayer meetings and tent meetings. Can't do it. What we do is an abomination to them, and what they do is an abomination to us. No, no, we've got to go out to camp. He said, stay here. No, we're leaving. Then Pharaoh said, well, go. Chapter 8 said, go, but don't go too far. That's what he said. Don't go too far. And Brother David said, people think we take this gospel too far. You're taking this too far. This doctrine. Too far. You're too dogmatic. You're too narrow. Who said narrow? Who said straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be to find? Who said that? Jesus Christ. Well, you're too narrow. You're too dogmatic. The truth is dogmatic. It's not. There's no gray area in the truth. It's black. It's white. Dead. Alive. Lost. Found. Huh? God. Man. Poles apart. We cannot. We will not compromise one word of truth. One doctrine. Of God's grace, of God's truth, of God's gospel. Not one. You know that if there's an acrostic that stands for the gospel, somebody, I don't know who came up with it, TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. My dad, when he taught the preacher's class, The first thing he said to all the preachers was, tulip or terminate. In other words, you preach this or you're out of here. Not 4 points, all of them, because it all stands together. You compromise on 1 point and it all falls. And it starts with total depravity. If man didn't die in the garden, and you don't need Christ didn't need to come, you don't need the Holy Spirit, you don't need a sacrifice, you don't need any of these things. He died. What happened in the garden? He died. What's that mean? It means he's dead. So can he do anything? Can he save himself? Can he come to God? No. Well, who is then? Unconditional election. Nobody would come to God if God didn't choose them. To give them life. To reveal the gospel to them. To bring them. To call them. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said. Chose before the world began. Wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone, they're the only ones that will come. And they wouldn't come if God hadn't chosen them. Unconditional election. That means he didn't choose you on condition on anything you are or ever will be or do. Aren't you glad? Why did he do it? Why did he choose you? Because he did. The good pleasure of his will. Isn't our God good? Limited atonement. That means particular redemption. That's the one they always hedge on. That's the one. Just leave that off. Jesus died for everybody. Just leave that off. We'll accept the rest. You know, we're sinners and God election, whatever that means. But just leave off this. He died for everybody. No, he didn't. Because what is it that puts away our sin? Blood of Jesus Christ. Well, it's the blood in our faith. No, it isn't. Faith's a result of the blood shed. No. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And we don't apply it, and we don't accept it, and we don't make it effectual in our faith. God sends it. Says, put that on the lintel and the doorpost. Put that in their heart. Put that in their mind. Put that there. It's God's work. Particular redemption. When the high priest went in, I gotta move on. I was afraid of this. But what? This is the gospel. When the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies to offer up that blood atonement, who did he do it for? The world? No, sir. He had names on his breastplate and on his shoulders. And Christ said the names of his people are engraved on the palms of his hands. And that's who he died for. And every single person that God chose and gave to Christ, Christ came here to die for, will be saved. Christ did it all. Boy, that's good news to me. And then there's irresistible grace or power, the Holy Spirit, you know. The modern world thinks the Holy Spirit does nothing but make you talk like an idiot and act like a fool. No. The Holy Spirit takes the things of pride and shows them unto you. The Holy Spirit's the one that gives you new birth. You won't be born again except by the Spirit, by the Word. And perseverance of the saint. Or as Brother Crabtree calls it, perseverance of the saint. The saints will all be in glory. They will persevere in the faith. Why? Because that faith is God-given. It's not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. They're preserved and they will persevere. So, Moses said, and I say, and every preacher, true preacher says, no, we won't give an inch. Nuh-uh, we're not going to compromise one doctrine. Not one jot or tittle. Not one home. Can't do it. Not a hoof left behind. Not a doctrine left off. We preach the truth, all of it. The only way to serve God's glory. See, he said, this is the only way we can serve God's glory. This is the only gospel that really gives God all the glory. You know that? This gospel, call it Calvinism, whatever you will, tulip, it's the only gospel that gives God A-double-L the glory. Only. Gives Christ all the glory. Gives the sinner only hope in Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good hope. That's a good hope. That's the only hope there is. All right, verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, if the truth doesn't break you, it'll harden you. That, you know, people come in to hear the gospel, and I'm glad, and because people come first time, I believe they probably have heard it, and I'm glad, but I have mixed emotions. I really do. Because if they don't believe this and bow to it, it'd been better if they never heard it. You know that? It's true. And if man doesn't bow, you know what he'll do? He'll boast. If man doesn't bow, he'll perish. He'll perish. Pharaoh hardened his heart. I was going to read Romans 9 that talks about God, whom he will, he hardened. For this purpose he raised up Pharaoh to show his power, to show that salvation is of the Lord. Completely of the Lord. Not of him that willeth or him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. Whom he will, he hardeneth. So, oh, may the Lord cause us to bow. Verse 28. And Pharaoh said, get from me. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more. In the day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, you've spoken well. I'll see thy face again no more. You know, man rages against the truth, and then he makes all his boasts of his religion and his idle threats. And the fact is, the divine irony of this, Pharaoh said, I don't want to see your face again. You see my face, and you'll die. The opposite is true. The opposite is true. Listen to this. The divine irony of this. Says the whole world someday, the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the captains, and the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in dens and rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. I don't want to hear this gospel anymore. I don't want to hear this truth anymore. I don't want to see all this talk about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't want to see that anymore. Okay? But you will. You will. I think you'll be trying to hide from the face. And you can't be hidden. But bless God, we're hidden. And we love His face. We want to see His face, don't we? When we see His face, we're not going to die. We're going to live. That's life, see His face. See His glory. One more plague. God said in chapter 11, the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out. Surely. One more plague and surely you're going out of here. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. Surely. Surely. Now surely the Lord has sent all these plagues upon this generation that we live in. Hasn't He? We've been looking at these. Such clear, clear pictures of all that goes on in our modern world. Surely, right now, surely, the plague right before death of Egypt and life for the Israelite. Darkness. Surely darkness covers this land, doesn't it? There's no doubt about it. You can feel it. It's thick, dark, surely. But bless God, we have light in our dwellings. No. We have light in our dwellings. And surely, when our Lord said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. Surely our Lord is coming. And surely we're going. Surely. Why is this so sure? Why are you so sure? Because Jesus Christ is our surety. because His word will not fail. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of mine shall fail. Surely He cometh. Yea, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And He said to speak this in the ears of the people, verse 2. Tell everybody, tell my people. Tell them. It's soon now. It's almost over. One more plague. Speak, tell everybody, get ready. He says, now borrow of his neighbor, every man's neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. They're leaving. Why did he tell them to borrow? He kept saying that. He kept saying that. You'll borrow this and borrow that. You know, they're going on a little journey, which is a picture of our journey through this world. But they don't own anything. We don't own anything. Do we? We just borrow. From who? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Nobody owns anything. God owns it all. He said, don't take these cattle with you. Who do the cattle belong to? Cattle on Thousand Hills here. All the gold and the silver and the mine here. Religion, false religion. God needs your money. It's not my money and God doesn't need it. It's His money. All right? It's His cattle. It's His. It's all His. We're just borrowing it. Because there's come a time we're not going to need it. We're not going to have it. Don't need it. Borrow it. And He said in verse 3, God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. You know, we live in the land of Goshen, don't we? We really do. As the Lord blessed you in your lifetime, can you not count your blessings one by one and see what great things your God hath done for you? Huh? Oh, all your life, all your life, all my life, we've been so blessed, haven't we? God has given us favor. It's not that the world loves us, because Egyptians are going to, when they're leaving, they're going to thrust them out. Get out, you're our problem. You know that? You know, the whole world would like to completely wipe out Christianity. Get rid of this. It bothers us, our conscience, and all this Bible talk. It bothers us. Get rid of it. But God has given us favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Our enemies, in the presence of our enemies. He's made us a table in the presence of our enemy. Why don't they come in and kill us? God won't let them. Listen to this. The Lord said, I gave Egypt for your ransom. Ethiopia and Seba for the year. They serve you. Everything in this world serves God's people. Until the last elect is bought in. Then there's no more need. The job you obtain, some Egyptian gave you that job. No. Promotion cometh from the Lord. Huh? He raiseth up and cast down. He maketh rich, He maketh poor. You got that job because God told that man, give her that job. Why? So you can serve the gospel. That's right. So you can serve your brethren. That's it. So you can have some food and raiment, and the rest of it is for the glory of God. Right? There's no other reason. The Egyptians served themselves. The Egyptians are all about pleasure and riches and money and fame and fortune. You know, how we can make ourselves happy. But God's people, how can we glorify God? How can we serve our brethren? So He gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Look at verse 3. Even Moses was great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servant. Moses. Egypt thought highly of Moses. Isn't that something? They still do. They don't like what he said. You know that? They won't do what he said. They brag on the prophets, devils. But the Pharisees bragged on Moses. He says, if you love Moses, you love me. He wrote me. People talk about Jesus. Well, it's ironic, isn't it? Ironic, but God did that because God's men are respectable men of integrity, men that command respect. You know that? They're not fools like these preachers. They're not. And the world recognizes that. He doesn't act a fool. He doesn't preach a fool. The people that go there aren't fools. I meet people from other places. And there's a marked difference between those that sit under the gospel and under the truth and people out there in false religion. Do you see it? Their speech gives them away. People are called Christians talking about luck. A whole lot of prayer and a lot of luck. Seriously. You don't know God. That's not the language of God's people. And God's people are serious. God's people are sober. God's people are devoted. God's people are set apart under the gospel. God's people are faithful. God's people are true. God's people are men and women of integrity. Name Lydia, Lama, keep going. Paul, Jack, aren't they? They're not fools. My dad was quite a preacher. The Lord blessed him and used him mightily, like Moses. There was a lawyer came to hear him preach. A lawyer. Now, lawyers are about the most dishonest, next to false preachers, they're the most dishonest people on earth. I went golfing with a man in private, and he was a lawyer. I liked him, he liked me, and we went golfing. But I said, Clyde, do you realize that you and I, he said, there's two professions I hate and despise, lawyers and preachers. The preachers and lawyers in that order. But anyway, this lawyer came to hear my dad preach. And he met him at the door afterward. And he said to him, he said, if I believed in my case, and if I argued my case, like you believe, like you pray, I never lose a case. You mean it. You're serious. You believe what you say. It's not put on. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not hypocrisy. This is real. You believe this, don't you? It was Benjamin Franklin that went to hear George Whitefield all the time. Benjamin Franklin had like 11 or 12 illegitimate children. People call these men our fathers, not mine. Anyway, he would go to hear George Whitefield preach the gospel. And somebody said to Benjamin Franklin, why do you go hear Whitefield preach? You don't believe what he preaches. He said, no, but he does. He does. And made an impression on him. So Moses was given favor in the sight of the Egyptians. He wasn't a fool, was he? He wasn't a coward, Kelly. He stood before that man and said, thus saith the Lord. Didn't back down, didn't compromise. He wouldn't give an inch. That's the way all God's preachers are. Man, her dad, like my dad, he's just as staunch and just as faithful and true to the Word now as he was when he was a young, fiery preacher. All right, I want you to look at this way with me. Moses said to the people, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. The Lord said, I'm coming in the midst of Egypt. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. The firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Didn't our Lord say, who cannot lie, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Didn't it? And religion quotes that, and they use that as some kind of scare tactic, but it's true. They really don't believe that. And religion really doesn't believe that. We do, don't we? But now listen to this. He said in verse 7, against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. When he's going out, not one dog bark at one of my people. He said, you're going to know that you may know that the Lord God doth put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. Now look at this way with me. This is such a blessing to think about this. He said over in chapter 10, and not a hoof be left behind. And in chapter 11 he said, and won't a dog bark at them. They're all going. Not one of them be missing. Not one of my chosen people. Not one for whom the blood was shed. Not one. Not one that trusts in him, David said, shall be desolate, shall be left out. Not one. Not a hoof left behind. But look at it. We don't need him. Not one. Not one for whom Christ died can possibly be left behind. Can't do it. That means the blood of Jesus Christ was not powerful. Right? What if one of those Israelites that had blood on his door went out and he died, huh? What would happen? Then the blood's worthless. God's promise is worthless. He's in the house. He believes God. His whole hope is in the blood. He's a lamb. He can't perish. God's word wouldn't be true, would it? God's promise wouldn't be faithful. Just see, this is all our hope. It's not in us, it's him. It's his promises. We're standing on the promises. We're standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you. I'm sent to tell you that he that stands on the rock shall not fall. He that stands in the rock, when the scourge comes by, will not come down yet. He that's under the blood. Not one hoof shall be left behind. Why does he say hoof? What does sheep have? Hooves. You know, in the ark, when God told Noah to go out and round up all the animals as clean animals, if two characteristics of clean animals, no unclean animals had this. He said they must part the hoof and chew on the cud. Then all the clean animals, seven of them, that's perfection. Not one of them would lose their mate, and one would die, the other one would live. Seven. Christ is that seven. Anyway, he said the clean animals will part the hoof and chew the cud. Matthew Henry said that. All of God's people, they part with the world. They part with their sin. And they chew on the gospel. Clean animals, they eat grass. What does sheep eat? One thing. Grass. Cows. Some of you have cows. I love to watch cows in the field, don't you? Sheep. I love to watch them. They'll eat that grass. Eat that grass. You think, don't you? And you got enough. And you got enough. Oh, eat that grass. Eat that grass. They've got, what, three stomachs? And then after they've gotten so much grass, then they'll stand there and belch up what they've already eaten and chew it some more. You say, that's gross. No, that's me. Is that you? You see, we can't take all this in right now. Yeah. It's just wonderful. We're eating and eating. This is good. This is good. This is so good. It's so good, but you can't take it all. You're going to leave here, and the Lord's going to bring it back to your mind, and you're going to chew on it some more. Because you hadn't gotten all out of it that you need. And all out of it, chewing the cud, chewing the cud. Is that all y'all do? Is that all you eat? It is. It is. And then he said in chapter 11, when they're leaving, I'm not going to let a dog bark at them. Not one dog will be barking at my people when they're going out there. You see, all our lives, we live amongst barking dogs and roaring lions. Don't we? Satan is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, our Lord came down here as a man, as our substitute. And he said, dogs have compassed me. He said, the wicked have enclosed me. He said, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. And we say that In Isaiah 54, the Lord talks about these, 56, He talks about these dumb dogs, greedy dogs, devour it, can't have enough. That's preachers, false preachers. They're everywhere. Everywhere. Barking. And they're barking. You ever have a dog in the neighborhood that barks a lot and wakes you up? I'm hard of hearing, but we got dogs. Our neighbor's got like 5 or 6 dogs. You know, you laugh at me for having 2 cats in a house. All those dogs are in the house. Plus 2 or 3 cats. But they let them out and... And brothers and sisters, does not everything you hear vex you? Does not what people are saying, what preachers are saying, what they're writing on these bulletin boards and all that about our God? God said this, God said that. No, He didn't. Barking dog. Barking dog. I'm tired of it. Well, one of these days. No more barking dog. No more roaring lion. No more temptations. No more snares. No more pits. No more enemies, no more evil thought, no more, nothing barking at us. That's too good to be true. I'll remind you, somebody hadn't heard this, should have. But I have many times, and I want to hear it again. Burgie Jones, our dear sister Burgie, sat right over there for many, many years. Most of you knew. Oh, how she loved the gospel. That's what she called the gospel. And everybody she ran into, her family, everybody said, they don't gospel down there. You need to come to our church. That's how she said it, didn't she, David? Our church, you hear the gospel. There ain't no gospel. Well, the Lord gave her a heart attack when she was in the ICU, and we went to see her. Mindy and I both went to see her. And she was in there, and the family was outside. We went in to see her. And she was concerned about one thing. She said, they're going to want to put me in a nursing home. She said, I don't want to go to no nursing home. She said, I'll have to listen to all that bad preaching. Honestly. That's the only thing. I'm going to go there with barking dogs. You know the Lord took her the next morning. No more barking dogs. No more bad preaching. The next preacher she heard was Jesus Christ. That's right. Okay.